This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
Just came to say we'll be outside. I won't say anymore. He had nothing to do with this.
I'm already guilty.
No, you aren't. You didn't do anything.
I didn't call the police. If we get caught, I'm an accomplice to murder, just like you and Mina.
Say you weren't even here.
Just go. Go do what you need to do so we can get out of here.
This will be over soon, I promise.
This will never be over.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, here we are. I'm Tiffany. This is my podcast. We're at the movies.
I wasn't really prepared for the instruction.
Maggie's met me in the theater, and we're sitting in the seats, and we're sitting with our snacks, and we're here to see a movie.
Yeah, I have to pause on my popcorn so that I don't annoy people with my chewing.
You don't have, it's okay.
Oh, no. I mean, I would do it for me, because I don't.
Everyone chews and eats food.
I'm going to listen back to this, and I don't want to murder myself chewing on the microphone.
So we're sitting at the movies at Midway.
We are.
There's like literally basically almost no one here except for one guy in the back.
There's one guy in the back, and I thought maybe we should invite him so he doesn't get mad at us for doing this.
I don't think he cares, but
he seemed pretty chill.
He said hi when I was like, I walked in and went, there's no one here. And then he was there.
He waved his hand. Nope, you guys are wrong.
Yes. I'm here. But this is good for us because we have time before.
We got here early.
This movie begins, and you did. Look, I took those photos. I own this town. I'm just kidding. No, I don't at all.
It's one of my favorite parts of getting here early is seeing your advertisement.
It's the only reason I came actually was just to see my own pictures in other people's business slides. So we're here for the rental.
Yeah.
Which was your? This was your suggestion.
Yeah. Well, it's like one of two new movies that's in the theaters right now. The other one is, what is it called? The Tax Collector?
I don't know what that's about.
I don't know what it's about either, so that one was not on my radar. This one I read about in Entertainment Weekly, which should be called Entertainment Monthly now because they don't come out weekly anymore.
I can't believe you still read that. Is that like a...
I've been reading it almost since the beginning.
Is that a print that you get?
I get the print.
Wow, man.
Yeah. And I love it.
That is
and actually, monthly works for me because I never have time to read.
Is that right?
So, well, I mean, I read at night before bed.
You listen to things.
I listen to tons of things.
You listen to tons of things, but and I watch lots of things.
Yeah, I can't read as much because my hands and eyes are always busy doing other
that's
stuff.
That's way too, and you have children that are like, that alone is just,
yeah. Well,
I don't know how you have time to do anything else than just deal with children.
Well, normally they're being tended to by other people when I'm listening to things. Although sometimes I'll just leave them in the living room and listen to something while I'm doing dishes or something.
Yeah. But well, they're getting older, so you can, like, maybe sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
We got them on Alexa so that they can, like, play
their
own stuff.
My God, that's amazing. You've got robots already. That's, like, the best thing ever. When are they going to start really parenting our kids for us?
I know, seriously. We just wanted them to be able to play their own music and maybe, like, FaceTime Grandma.
I just want them to clean my house like Rosie did on the Jetsons.
Yeah, once we get there, we're good to go.
I don't know why we're not there yet. Why can't we have a robot to do the dishes?
I know. Back to the Future.
Actually, it's called a dishwasher.
Like 5 years ago was the future in Back to the Future, and we don't have flying cars.
Everybody thought we would have that by now.
Yeah, we don't have any of this stuff that they
but
have.
But the cars are almost driving themselves.
Yeah, we're getting closer.
We're getting closer.
But anyway, so the rental, though.
Yes, talk about it.
So this movie is directed by the more annoying of the two annoying Francos, Dave Franco, who, he's not my favorite, but he's not in this, so that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's his directorial debut, and it is kind of a creeper movie, and it's about these two couples rent this cabin thing together and like a house share thing.
Right.
And they discover that there's like hidden cameras and stuff. The guy that's rented it to him is just being a creepy guy. And then
And then something happens.
And then things happen. It looks like there's some like killing things happen after that.
Really bad happens.
Yeah, I'm looking
forward to
some
mayhem. I like that there's Allison Brie in this movie.
That's his wife in real life.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that's Dave Franco's
wife. I didn't want her to be married for some reason.
Because she's hot.
Oh my God, the music just got really intense here. Just take it easy, movies in Midway. No, but I love her. I've been watching her in Glow.
Mm.
Do you watch Glow?
I've seen the first two seasons. Is there more than that?
I don't think so. But that was... She's great in that.
Yeah.
And I saw her in a very, very, very weird indie movie called The Horse Girl or something.
Oh.
Have you heard of this?
No, I have not.
I don't know if you should watch it. It's super weird.
Okay.
I mean, literally it has nothing to do with the horse, which made no sense to me, so I don't understand.
I can't be wasting my time with junk.
No, it was bad. But
she was great in Community. I loved that show.
See, I didn't really watch Community. I should watch Community.
Good show.
Yeah, but she's great. I'm excited to see her. And anything. Look, we're here. This is like a feat in itself.
Really, honestly, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what the movie was. I just needed to get to a movie. So,
yes,
I'm just glad to be at a theater watching a movie on a big screen.
Yeah, and these ads are kind of weird. Already, we're seeing ads for like
healthy
Deltech. You know what's weird is I wonder if we'll see, like, movies about COVID.
I was just reading an article.
Did you?
In Entertainment
Weekly. It's got to be coming, right?
Well, they were talking about, like, there'll probably be a lot of scripts written, but they don't know how many movies will actually end up getting made. Like, nobody's super excited about dealing with that because nobody wants to, like, we're all sick of it. We don't want to watch more of it.
I guess, but I kind of feel like COVID is a great setting. Like quarantine for like horror movies in general because people have to stay home.
Well, I'm looking forward. Right? Like I love movies about like pandemics and stuff, right. But more serious ones than this one, where it's more than just mostly an inconvenience to day-to-day life. Only so many people have like known someone that actually suffered and died, or not to diminish that experience, but you know, in the movies, it's like the whole world died. It's like The Stand.
Yeah, but I feel like what's weird about this is that it's become so normalized. I think it's going to continue to be for a while because, I don't know, I mean, we're all wearing masks. I mean, we aren't, but we are.
Well, we were.
Masks to get in here. But I have, like, I do portraits every night. Some people, like, want me to wear a mask. People don't. I don't get close to them, so it doesn't matter anyway. I'm outside. But it's just, like, become so normal that, like, this is just how we live our lives now. That's what I'm thinking is like not to make the movie about COVID, but that like
but just that the experience world is a part of it, like
that people are just going to the store.
Yeah, so instead of watching
masks,
movies and
then, like,
wanting
then
to scream
still at a story, right?
Yeah, like scream at the people on screen. You're too close to each other.
Right. Exactly. That's it. Turn the lights on. It's all the same.
Yeah.
He's in the closet. Take off your mask. You know, it's just like stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that'd be like a great. I don't know. I feel like there could be some good stories out of this.
Well, I'm sure there will be some. I just don't know if it'll be like a huge amount. I have a friend actually that is. Well, friend is a generous word. We're acquaintances from high school. We didn't know each other very. I wish we had known each other better because we would have gotten along really well. Facebook has taught us that we agree on a lot of stuff and probably would have been good friends if we had actually like tried harder in high school to be friends with each other. But anyway, now we're friends on Facebook. And she lives in Los Angeles most of the time, but her wife got a job somewhere else. Anyway, she got a job right before all this happened as a writer on Station 11 on HBO Max.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, can we talk about that? Why did they do that? Why did they change it? It was so annoying.
Oh, God. HBO Max? Yeah. I don't understand. Am I going to have to cancel regular HBO?
Is it gonna be
and
HBO
then pay,
Ultra later?
Like, do I have to pay for... I'm already paying for one. Do I have to pay for both now? I don't know.
I think it's just a mindfuck all around.
At some point, I understand everybody wants to get into streaming because Netflix made it popular and everybody's making money.
But they had HBO Go. They had HBO Go. Why is there HBO Max?
Because they want to charge more. I don't know. I don't want to have free. I don't want a freaking streaming service for every network that I watch. Like.
Sorry, I interrupted your story about your friend.
No, that was basically it. But just that Station 11 is based also on like a disease that decimates the population. That was a book that was like popular a few years back.
I'm gonna plug another weird movie that I wanted to share with you because I watched it yesterday just randomly because I like
What's her name from The Handmaids?
Oh, yeah. Elizabeth Moss.
Elizabeth Moss, who I think is amazing.
She's great.
She is so good.
I excuse that she's a Scientologist.
But she's in this movie called Shirley. Shirley, which is about...
I heard of it.
Yeah. Shirley Jackson, who wrote The Lottery. It's a true story, actually. You have to see that.
Yeah, I'll check
it out. It's free on Hulu. It's really good. Yeah. Look at this scene. Look at this.
Yeah. Instead of a preview, they shut down the music so that they could show us all the things we need to do. Like,
I feel like I'm at camp.
Wash your hands.
Oh my god, it's so silent.
Exit first.
The question is, should I keep doing this through the previews, or should I turn it off? We can whisper.
I'm fine with either. This guy hasn't yelled at us yet.
I mean, he might, but like, if we keep it private, I'll do
this. Things are dried up here.
I will get there. We've got some time.
Now the real movie's gonna start.
Don't joke.
Right on the...
See, that's why you don't eat food on a podcast.
First, all right, we're shutting up now. We'll return at the end.
Well, see you later.
Bye. All right, that was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
All right, we just finished the rental.
It was really good.
I am like, I don't even have words right now.
Yeah, it was.
You might.
A little different than what we were expecting. In a good way. In a good way.
I would give this like a 10, I don't know, 9 out of 10. Yeah. I loved it.
It was really, really good. It was really well done.
It was really well done.
Yeah.
Because we've seen a lot of movies like this.
We've seen a lot of movies, period. And I think they did a really good job of, like, taking things that you would assume you already know about movies like this and just putting just enough tweak on it to give you a little bit of a surprise and to not make it...
Right.
Yeah.
Great storytelling.
Yeah. Really good storytelling. Made the characters seem really real. They weren't just...
It was almost like we were watching, like, a play at parts. Like, it was, like, really good acting and really good storytelling. And then, I don't know, and then it, like, went where it went, which was...
I noticed that again. It said story by in the credits. Not written by. It said story by. I wonder, because Joe Swanberg was part of the group doing this. Like, I wonder if this was a little
bit right?
Ad-lib too. Because that show Easy that he also did with Dave Franco was mostly ad-libbed. Like, they just came up with the story and where it was going to go and then let the actors just wing it from there. So I wonder if there's a little bit of that to this. At least as far as some of it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I need to get my thoughts together. I really don't even know what just happened. Get right into it. So Maggie, we found a way to come back to each other in our crazy schedules and our crazy lives, but we did go see The Rental, as you just heard. And have you had some time to process this movie?
A little bit. I mean, my time is always like, I'm thinking of 12 things at once. So I think I'll do best following your themes and stuff that you came up with, because I know you did more thinking than I was able to.
I mean, honestly, this is still a kind of fresh take because I haven't had a lot of time either. But so just in general, we both agreed that the movie was really awesome. In the time that I've had to simmer on it, I do think the main thing that's weird that I think about it is I think it's just such a movie about relationships, even though it's set up to be a movie about a creepy stalker who murders people in rentals. But I feel like that's not really what the movie's about.
Something more of like a being terrified of what technology can do and the surveillance that any schmo can be doing on any of us.
Yeah, I guess so. But I feel like the movie is really just like the setup is this situation. But I feel like what it's about is about the way people deceive each other. You know, the whole movie is one big deceit to me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
they're being deceived by, you know, the rental itself and the person that is owning it or running it. Even the guy that's in charge of it is being deceived. Everyone's being deceived in some way by the other person. There's secrets they don't know about each other. And I feel like that theme is to me the biggest theme of the movie that I've kept in my head. Like when I think about it, even now, I don't think about the video recording of everyone and everything. I feel like I just keep thinking about those interactions with the couples, especially like, you know, I need to pull up the information. But
I can't remember their name. You know, I normally have such a great memory for this stuff. I can't remember any of their names right now.
I'm going to help right now. But what do you think about my thoughts on that?
I definitely agree. I think, you know, a good scary movie makes you care about the people, and definitely like you kind of got the sense, especially at the end with the montage of the guy watching other people and stuff, that his goal wasn't necessarily to kill these people, but they had discovered what was happening and he couldn't get caught. So he had to clean up the mess, kind of a thing. Like the goal wasn't necessarily to kill them all, but they confronted him on it. And so he had to do something about it. So it was definitely like the danger kind of came more from them and their secrets and secrets coming out and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think if a movie, like especially horror movies, we were kind of joking as we were watching it that like the second someone does something they're not supposed to, like have sex with the wrong person, they're definitely going to be dead. Spoiler alert, which I did say earlier, this movie is a spoiler. So this podcast is always a spoiler, but yeah. So a lot of people end up dead. But it does seem to be the funny theme that that's what happens in horror movies is the second somebody has sex, or cheats or does something, they're definitely going to be the next one to go down. And I think this whole movie is a big comment on people being honest with each other. And
yeah, if they had been honest with each other, they could have left that day. They would have just said, like, this is what happened. We're being watched. We have to get out of here. They stayed so they could keep their secret. Because how would we explain this otherwise? Like, we can't say we saw it because then we'll have to, you know, if the police come and they find this video, they'll see us having sex in the shower. And then we have to tell our partners that we had sex in the shower. I also thought it was interesting, just quickly, just to throw it in there, that the couple that ends up cheating together on the guy's brother and his wife, they make it look like at the beginning of the movie that those two are the couple. They're the ones who are finding the house together, who are just like their faces are next to each other looking at the computer, and they look at each other like, yeah, we deserve this. And you're thinking, oh, this is a cute little couple. And then boyfriend comes in. Oh yeah, no, actually they're not the couple.
No, they're not. I know. It's interesting how they play around with that just from the very beginning. So this is definitely like a deep dive into, I don't know, like just, I guess, relationships, trust. Do we really know the people that we're with? There's that whole, I was thinking of the scene where, and I'm going to pull up the names now, but Alison Brie's character is Michelle, and Michelle and Jeremy's character, Jeremy Allen White, his character is Josh. Yeah. And so they go, remember, cause like everyone does ecstasy.
Molly.
Right.
Molly.
Except for her.
We're old. And we were young with ecstasy. Now it's Molly.
That's right. It's Molly. Yeah, but it's weird because that happens. And so she, you know, they're supposed to go hiking the next day. Of course, all this other, you know, all the bad things happen. Two people that aren't supposed to hook up, you know. And then it's the next day and she obviously wants to go on this hike and everyone's totally hungover, or, you know, whatever that word is, if you've done a lot of drugs.
Hungover still works, I think.
Does that still work even if it's something else and not alcohol?
But I don't know. I would just say hungover just as
easy. They're done. They can't do anything. They obviously don't want to go on a freaking hike. And she ends up going with Josh, who's willing enough to just, you know, go along. And during that hike, he talks a little bit about how her husband, his brother is, like how he met her and how he was with someone, you know, in the relationship with someone else when that happened, which she didn't realize.
No, she knew that that he was with someone when she met.
Right.
But she.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
He was with someone when he met the previous girlfriend.
Okay, so so he's pointing out a pattern that this.
Like this is.
He has the tendency to do this with women. Like he's in a relationship and then he kind of cheats.
And just immediately jumps into the next relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's kind of shocking to her, and so that's like another secret revealed.
Which very
yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say which she was very upset by, like, because you know you'd think you would know your husband's relationship background, so obviously he either lied by omission or he just completely just lied, and you kind of get the feeling that he just lied because he said whatever I later when she confronts him he says whatever I said then is probably the truth.
Right. And it's so true. Like, that's what's weird is we're talking about it and just bringing up moments in the movie. But I think in real life, in relationships, there's always these elements of things that you're not going to always know the other person completely. And that unpredictability of like what lies beneath the surface with people. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small, sometimes it's subtle. But I think it's always there. And I think this movie is like exploding it. You know, it's kind of like, let's take subtle things and then they kind of like seep into the fabric of the story to explode what happens later into this other, completely other, you know, huge deceit, which is that everything you thought you knew was happening isn't happening, even with the house and the rental and the person videoing and everything. So then it becomes one layer upon layer of like, there's another secret, there's another secret.
Yeah, they set up like, that room under the house with the code on it, like, oh, you know, something, there's like high-tech lock on this thing, there's got to be something creepy in there. So when they discover that there's recording going on in the house, they assume, well, obviously that's where it must be, the black box and the security room and all that stuff where he's keeping all the recordings. And they finally break into it, and no, it's just junk, it's just a bunch of junk.
So that's such a great thing that he played in the story, because I think we all thought that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an obvious play. Like, okay, it's obviously in there. Why would you have a door with like a code on it? At first I thought, well, maybe there's stuff in there they don't want the guests to get into. You know, obviously if you have a rental, people don't want, you know, certain things being used.
Yeah, there's always a locked door.
Yeah. But, and you know, I haven't even gotten into the fact that like we're living in a semi-quarantine state still, where like people can go out, but you some people are still self-quarantining. But we're living in a town where we live, where this entire place is full of rentals. Like the funny thing about going to this movie is the thought of that, just that like so many people here are staying in rentals. We're in a literal tourist town.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't stayed in a rental in a really long time. Have you?
No, but my work brings me into lots of homes that are used as second homes and as rentals and stuff like that. So I've come across plenty of closets with locks on them.
Do you think this movie changes your thoughts about staying in a rental?
No, because I don't. Not at this point in my life, because I don't do anything shady. I don't do anything that anybody couldn't see. Like, oh God, somebody's going to see me take a nap at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because my kids aren't with me. Like, there's nothing I do that needs to be hidden anymore. So I don't.
Well, it's really weird because now I'm thinking about another, like the more I talk about this to you, the more things I think about. And the one thing I'm thinking about right now is that, you know, the character of, hold on, let me go back to the main people. So Mina, who, you know, Mina's quite a character, I think, in this story. She's, she feels a bit like, they're playing around with issues of race.
Yes, for sure.
Women, yeah, go ahead.
Mina Muhammad, and she gets denied the same exact rental 1 hour before, you know, Charlie something white is given the rental for the same exact price, the same exact time period, and all of that stuff. So it sets up like the guy that we're about to go see who's running this rental is a racist asshole.
Right. And they talk about it in the car ride up there. And then she can't help herself to bring it up when she meets the guy.
Yeah.
So, they set her character up really well.
Yeah.
With us knowing that, like, she's kind of a loose cannon. Like, who knows what she's going to do or say because she doesn't seem to care.
She can't let things go. You see her trying to. You see her kind of, like, I'm just gonna, but then like he says one thing too many and it just triggers something in her. And you see the moment when she just says, nope, not gonna let it slide. And she jumps in there and says what she has to say, even though it makes everybody else uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it is such a plant and payoff for later what happens. But I will tell you, like, thinking about rentals, like I was just making that comment on living in a tourist town and everyone staying in rentals from out of the area. And I will say the one thing that was interesting is when she does notice the camera, like I have stayed in a lot of places and I would never look for that.
No,
it was weird. And I was kind of like, would I notice something like that? Would I be standing in a shower, looking at a shower head and noticing that? Or would I've just thought like nothing? I feel like I'm so oblivious. I wouldn't even have noticed that that was a camera.
Yeah. I would have just assumed like there's rust in there or something. Like, I don't know. Like I definitely would never have noticed it in the first place. And if I had, I wouldn't have made the leap. And if I had, yeah, I probably would have left and demand. Like I'd kind of dislike my answer earlier of like, no, who gives a crap? I don't do anything exciting. So who cares if anybody watches me? But, you know, that's...
I was going to say, are you an exhibitionist, Maggie? Do you like to be photographed?
No answer of like, well, if you don't commit any crimes and you don't have to worry about the police state getting you or something and being okay with that because you're not the one who's going to get in trouble, which is kind of a bullshit answer. But, I never would have picked up on it. I would have been the oblivious one who just went about my day and left without ever having any kind of... I told you I had heard of the movie because I read about it in Entertainment Weekly and they were talking to Dave Franco, the director. They were saying something about, you know, asking him about whether or not he worries about surveillance and people peeping in and stuff in places like that. And he said, oh, I always just assume. I just assume that they're watching or something.
Wow.
It's like, I guess it's definitely a mind frame thing, like where you fall. And I guess being a famous person where people are always trying to watch you.
Yeah.
You would have that kind of knee jerk reaction. Like, of course people are trying to watch me. They always are. Cause literally in his life, they are.
Man. Yeah. I mean, and that's true. I don't, you know, and that's why I think I find it interesting that maybe this movie is more about that, which is like, how willing are you to do things and not care, you know? And it is interesting because she and him, you know, her and Charlie get together that evening, they're on Molly, whatever, they work together,
yeah, they're partners,
and then they end up in the, you know, and then he's the one that like just bumps in the shower with her, you know, like he kind of pushes that point at that moment to like decide to do it with her and she goes along with it. And maybe that thing,
but he definitely was the instigator.
He was the instigator, and he, but it is interesting because you wonder, like, if you're in a different mindset, right? Like the day before she took a shower, if that was the case, if she was going to take a shower, maybe she wouldn't think or feel, you know, she's taking that shower and she's.
Yeah. She wouldn't have felt exposed.
Yeah. Like she's paranoid. Okay. She did something she wasn't supposed to do. And now that's simmering in her head. And now she's suspicious of herself in a way. And now she's looking around, like noticing that. So it's kind of like, what do our own deceits that like our own kind of like secrets or lies or bad behavior do to us in moments that make us more paranoid and more susceptible to react on that now, you know, like now what happens next is how do they show up? Knowing they've got the secret, knowing they can't address now two secrets, which is their, you know, their, booty call in the shower. And then also just the fact that they know that there's someone recording now.
Yeah. Cause they play dumb. They don't tell their partners when they come back that they're being recorded. They decide, like, basically she immediately says, we have to call the cops. And he says, we can't because they'll find this stuff. They'll find the recording. They'll see that we had sex in the shower last night. Yeah. We'll be exposed. He'll leave you. My wife will leave me. We'll be screwed. And she, you know, reluctantly goes along. She's like, well, we can't stay here. We have to leave. And he's like, we have no excuse. What can we possibly say is the reason for having to leave? And they can't come up with anything that makes enough sense to actually go.
No, no.
Okay.
Well, can I ask a personal question?
No.
I know you're like, please don't. Yeah. I mean, we don't have to say about relationships per se, but like, Can you relate to a moment in your life where you have had to do something like that? Like, even on the smallest level, like, you don't have to
blame. You're talking to somebody who, like, was a professional liar for the years of my life, the end of my alcoholic and drug addicted issues of my life. Yeah, there was like a 3.5 year period at least where I was lying on a daily basis to everyone.
Right. But that's, I mean, like, were you in it in the lie with other people? I think that's like a different, you know, we all have our little lot, like our little secrets maybe at times, but like the kind of scenario where two people or more have to suddenly now keep a secret together and the weight of that and how that can play out moving on, where it's like, I mean, I can like literally say for myself, going back to my high school years, I'm sure there were plenty of times where me and my friends did something obviously I wasn't supposed to do, and then I had to keep that secret forever from my parents and like keep a lie going with other people, hoping they also would stay in the lie and not fucking mess it up so that I didn't get found out, you know? And the burden of that is so heavy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like it's the worst feeling to have to stay in a lie like that long.
Yes. That has definitely been number one biggest relief. Like, more than, you know, I don't have hangovers every day and, you know, I'm not spending all my money on illicit materials and et cetera, et cetera. The number one relief in my life from not being in that part of my life anymore is not having to carry around all of those continuous lies that I had to keep up all the time. Even when I knew they weren't working, you still have to keep them up. You still have to try and cling to it as hard as you can, because the alternative just seems impossible to deal with. So yeah, like the relief of letting go of that stuff is intense. But, you know, when you're in a moment where you feel like your entire life will crumble if this comes out, like these people felt like they were in, then definitely it seems like, no, can't let this out at all costs.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, I love this movie, and I think it's deeper than it seems. Like, you know, they have to sell it with a trailer, and it's definitely got all the things. It's got, you know, if you're looking for a thriller, if you're looking for kind of like a mystery of like something's going to happen to people and you don't know what it is. Sure. It's got all those typical things, but I do think the movie for me felt more intense and more layered than just that, as you can hear from this conversation. And, I kind of want to watch it again, which maybe I can do. I kind of wanted to see if I could get Nicole to watch it, but we'll see if she wants to try and watch it with me.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, like, I feel like with, you know, with some first time directors or, you know, people who, and definitely I think it's different for people who've been in front of the camera for a long time before they get behind the camera, they have a better chance at it. But, you know, you can expect that like maybe the editing won't be completely perfect. There'll be things where it seems like it's a little jumpy narratively, like they miss things or don't quite let it flow properly. But this was very, like, for, you know, it was an hour and a half, just under an hour and a half, and everything flowed seamlessly. Like, you never missed anything. You were completely aware of what was going on and who these people were and where they were in the story and all of that stuff throughout. It was really impressive how well he kept the form of everything going, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And I actually love that you just said it was an hour and a half. Like, thank you, by the way. Thank you for making a movie that isn't like 5 hours long. Like, why? I mean, I like a long movie. It's like if it's actually for the point of the story. But how many movies do we see now that are just like endlessly long and you're sitting there like, why is this movie so goddamn long?
Yeah, they could definitely trim a lot of fat off of some of these things. This was definitely a much more streamlined production. And it was a small
movie. Perfect. Like, I didn't, there wasn't a moment in it that I was bored or it wasn't pushing the story forward. Like, I was just like, this is great. Like, I'm in it the whole time. I was totally engaged. Like, I didn't feel like there were points in the story that needed to be taken out.
Yeah. And I agree. Like, an hour and a half is an hour and a half to 2 hours. Those are my favorite length movies. Like, very rarely does it seem, if it needs to be longer than that, make it into like a 6-part miniseries.
Right. Yeah. This doesn't have to be a movie. So I guess what I'll ask you before we get, cause I know we have limited time. So what would be like the takeaway from a story like this? Like, what's the moral of The Rental? If you were to, I mean, I kind of said it, but do you have any last things you want to add?
I think, in terms of art. I mean, it definitely comes down to, you know, like, yeah, honesty and not being a dick to people that you care about. Like, you know, yeah, sure, you could be honest about it, or you could have not done it in the first place. Like, they had so many opportunities to step away from it. They knew what they were doing. They did it anyway. But really, is there even any moral to take from that? Because people will keep doing that, whether or not they know the consequences. Like, they knew when they were doing it that the chances were that something awful could come from this. And they did it anyway. And that's life, isn't it?
I guess it is, unless we're just blaming drugs.
That's a very convenient thing to blame. But as someone who's sober now, I tell you, yeah, you're more likely to act on your crappy impulses, but that doesn't mean those crappy impulses go away when you're sober.
Yeah, and the more I think about it, like, I keep having those same thoughts, which is, like, maybe the truth is that Charlie is always going to be this way. Like, he just doesn't know how to be in a relationship and not do that. I mean, if the chain of events for him is this is what he does over and over and over again, and that's, like, the fear that, you know, Michelle's character finds out is like, oh my God, you know, is this going to happen to me now? Like, why am I doing this? Why am I with this person that I think I knew, but I don't know? Plus she's also becoming aware of her own choices, which was like, I'm the person that did that too. Yeah. You know, I hooked up with a guy who had a girlfriend at the time. And so,
yeah, we didn't really touch at all on the fact that her character was the only one who was like, no, we are called, like, they thought they murdered the caretaker. We didn't really get into that. Like, we think the whole time he's the one watching them.
Right.
He's not. He gets beat up by Josh and they all leave and go outside. The killer comes in and actually kills him. And they think that Josh did when they find him. Like, oh my God. Oh,
so good, you guys. It's just such a great, that's a great scene too, isn't it? Where you're just like, holy shit.
But then Allison Brie's character, Michelle, is that what you said?
Yeah, I think her name is Michelle. Let me pull it back up. Yeah, from what I understand, it's Michelle, yeah.
But yeah, she's like, immediately, she's like, well, we have to, everybody's like, what do we do? They're talking about, like, how are we going to hide the body? Where are we going to put the body? How are we going to make this look? How are we going to get out of here? How are we going to get away with this? And she's like, guys, what are you talking about? Like, we have to call the police. I'm not living the rest of, like, she is the one who does not want to live with secrets. She's the one who says, like, I do not want to spend the rest of my life with this over my head, like this. And later on, like, when her husband comes and says, you don't have to do anything, you just stay here, we'll go take care of everything and it'll all be over soon. And she's like, it'll never be over. And which, had they lived, would have been the case. If you thought you had killed someone and you know,
that is such a great line. That is like the line, it'll never be over. I think that's like the best way to sum up the entire movie.
Yeah, it's a very obvious line and a very obvious sentiment. And we should all know this by now. Haven't we all seen enough movies to know that these things don't end? But
yeah, they never do. You can't, how do you do that? Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I think we nailed it in terms of our thoughts. How about you?
I'm pretty impressed with this. I'm, you know, I wasn't even 100% fully awake. My coffee's only half drunk.
It happened so, like, in the split second of, like, I texted you and you're just like, okay, sure, let's go, you know? So thank you for being game. But I'm working really hard to get content to my people. So listeners, take note. Yeah. Take note.
Now that we know, yes, if this actually works out all right and I can find, maybe I'll purchase some cheap headphones that actually plug into this computer for next time. You know, maybe
we or you can just get us a cheap microphone and then we have like a real situation going on, because it'll sound really great on your end.
You know, if I don't have to figure out how to get somewhere, I could do this more often.
Yes, that might be the new thing for us. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for going to the movies with me. And
thank you for going that, like, hounded you and, like, texted you frequently to remind you.
No, well, I should thank you then. Thank you for making me go to the movies. It's my favorite thing. And we'll have to do it again. So everyone stay tuned. We might be at the movies again soon.
I think Tenet is coming out next, is the newest movie that's supposed to come out first. And I really want to see that. That's the new, what's his face movie? The guy that did all the Batmans. And why can't I think of his name right now?
There's so many Batmans, I can't really remember.
Good ones, the Christian Bale ones.
Oh.
And he did the Inception.
Inception. God, how come I don't know? You've got me. See, look, it's also too early for me. I'm a mess here. Like, I'm going to pull it up right now. Roman Polanski.
No.
No? Okay, hold on a second. Because I just pulled up The Tenant, and this is a 1970s horror film.
No, it's not a horror film. Christopher Nolan.
It's not?
No,
Tenet. No, I'm saying what's funny. Is it I was going to ask you, is it a remake? No, because it's
spelled T-E-N-E-T.
Oh, I'm spelling it wrong.
And Denzel Washington's son stars in it, and Robert Pattinson's in it.
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, Yeah, I said it a minute ago, but you were distracted by trying to figure out why it was not coming up.
No, but oddly enough, I just found a really bizarre horror movie from the 70s that now I might need to watch. Because
The Rental Alley, The Tenant, yeah.
I don't know. The Tenant, Robert Polanski, I've never seen it. Looks really strange.
Kind of Tenant, but yeah, I definitely, there's very little information on it out right now. But, you know, I'll see anything he does just because he's interesting.
Hey, let's do it. I'm there anytime. All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us. And we'll be back. I'll be back with some more stuff. Just keep listening. Oh, my God. That was great. Now we've got happy tunes.
Yeah,
Alison Brie killed it.
Yeah, she did great. Everybody did really good.
They were great. Well, I think I have way more to say, and I'm going to need, like,
a moment.
Man, I might even watch that again. You know what's funny is we can watch this at home if we want to.
Oh, I know. We could go home and watch.
Oh, I'm so sorry. All right, we got to go. We're being kicked out. So sorry.
I was about to say.
Well, I didn't know.
No, it's
sometimes I feel like I could just live here.